Mishnayis Masechta Baba Basra, Perek Aleph Mishna Aleph, Hashutfin Sherotzu Lasois Mechitze Bechotzer. You have Shutfim, two partners that own the Chotzer. Up until now they owned it together, and now they want to divide up this Chotzer. That's the Maskana Sagmara, that when the Mishnah says Sherotzu Lasois Mechitze, Mechitze really means Plukta. That they wanted to divide up. And we're talking about now a chotzer shein boi kedei chaluka. That means there's not 8 amas by 8 amas here, that when they'll divide it up, it'll be 4 by 4. There's not that much here. Because if there would be that much, then even if only one should have wanted to divide, he has a right to force the other one. But here we're talking about there's less than 8 by 4, and therefore if they would divide up, there would be less than 4 by 4 for each one. Therefore they only have to divide if both of them agree to divide. So that's the Mishnah, the Hashutfim, Shirotzu, Lasas, Mechitza, Bechotzer. If both of them agreed to make a chalukah to divide up, so the halacha is now boinin es hakoysel b'yemtza. There's like a tekonim with the rabbanon that they have to build up a wall now in between, and the space of the wall and the material for the wall they both have to pay for and give equally. And the reason why this the halacha is they have to build this wall, that's because we hold hezek riyah shemay hezek. That means without the wall, the other person will be able to look into your chotzer to see what you're doing, and that's going to harm you. Like you would like to do dvarim shevetzina, some private things there, chveis, take a bath there, or take a suntan, and you do not like where the other person is looking in. So therefore you have a right that he should stop looking in. Therefore together you have to build up this wall. Now the Mishnah says, Mokam Shinogo Livno is Govil. If the Minig HaMokam is when they build up this wall between the Chotzer, they use Govil, that's stones that are not smoothened out, or else Gozis, that stone that are smoothened out, or Kfisin, that's half of a brick, or else Levenim, or else bricks, whole bricks, Boinim. That's the way you're supposed to build this wall. And like the Mishnah says, Hakil Kiminik HaMedina. It all depends upon what the minig, what the normal way, the normal manner of building a wall in this city is. Now, Begovil, when they go to build up the wall using this unsmooth stone, so then the locher is Zenoisen Shloisha Tvachim, Vizenoisen Shloisha Tvachim. Both Shutfim have to give 3 Tvachim of their property. In other words, this wall now is going to take up 6 Tvachim. So each one has to give 3 Tvachim to build it on. What about the Bagozis? Let's say they're only going to use the Gozis to smoothen out a stone. Then Zenoisen Tivchayim Umachza, Vizenoisen Tivchayim Umachza. Each one only has to give 2.5 Tvachim. Because together now the wall is going to be only 5 Tvachim. In the first case, when you use the gavil, since it's unsmoothing, like you have to cement them together, so it takes an extra tefach, or else because the corners, the chip parts are sticking out. But here, by gozes, where it's smoothened out, then you can make the wall in 5 tvachim. What about bakfisin? When you want to use these half a bricks, then zenoisin tefchayim, vizenoisin tefchayim. Here the wall is going to be 4 tvachim wide, so each one has to give 2 tvachim. What about the balavanium? They can use whole bricks. Then zenois and tefach omachza, vizenois and tefach omachza. Together, these bricks are only 3 tvachim wide. Therefore, the wall is going to be 3 tvachim wide. Therefore, each one has to give a tefach and half. And here is the pshat, is by kfisin. They're only half a bricks, but you have to cement it in between. So the cement in between takes a tefach. Therefore, by kfisim it's 4 tvachim, and balavanium it's only 3 tvachim wide. Now the Mishnah says, Lefikoch, therefore, in other words, since there is this takana de Rabbonin, that they have to build up this wall together, therefore, im nofel hakoisel, let's say later on, this wall falls down, so hamokem v'havonim shoshneim, that the place of the wall, the karka there, and the stones itself belongs to both of them. And the Gemara says, even though this wall falls into one of them's rishus, so really maybe the other one should be Hamoitza Mechaveri Olavaraya, since the one that has the stones, is saying he built it by himself. So that's the Chiddush, know that since there's such a takana, the Rabbonin, it's such a strong swara to say that for sure when they first build it, both of them build it together. Therefore now when it falls down, they're both shutfim, both in the Avonim and in the Mokam of the Kaisel. Mishnah Beis. V'chein bagina. The same halacha applies to a gina. That's a garden. That's where you grow crop, where you grow things, either wheat or corn. The same halacha that the first two people owned it together, and now they're divided up. So, mokam shenogu ligdor, and the Gemara comes on. What it means to say is that a stam gina usually is like a place that the minig is to build up a wall, and therefore mechayev an oisai. Shenogu mechayev them to build up a wall. And the Gemara says, like, there's a bigger svara, bigger reason to build a wall by a gina than there is by a chotzer. Because by a gina, there you have your crop, your corn, let's say it's growing up. And when it's fully grown, if other people look on, they could give an ayin hara, they could ruin it for you. So therefore, that's a big damage. Therefore, for sure, there's a svara that you should have a wall built up between. Now the Mishnah says, Abu Babika, what's going to be on a plain level of ground, like in a valley? Then, and people owned it together, and then they divide up. So, Mokim Shinogush Le Ligdor, Ein Machiav Anoisai. The Gemara says, it means to say that Minastam, here the minig is, not to build up a wall, unless they make a special condition to build up this wall, unless that's the minig HaMokim. But Minastam, the minig is by a bikur not to build up a wall. There's less hezek than by a chotzer, therefore the minig is not to build up the wall. So that's Halacha Ein Machiav Anoisai. But the Mishnah says, what's going to be Avolim Roitza? Let's say by a Bika in the valley, when you had Shutfis, and now they divide up, and one wants to build up a wall, so he can't force the other one to give half of the property or half of the money to build the wall, so he's going to have to build it all by himself. So therefore, Koinis Latoich Shelo Yobayna, he's going to have to move into his own property, like build the whole wall on his own property, and the whole wall is his. So now he has to make a simon now that in case later when it falls down, the other one should not come and lie and say he also built it. So therefore the Mishnah gives you an eighth and says, V'oiseh chozis mivachutz. You're supposed to make a sign that's a little bit projection mivachutz. That's a machlekes in the Gemara, whether it means this projection of the wall should be sticking outwards or sticking inwards. For the kids, you have to make some type of the brick sticking outwards in order that there should be a simon you build it. Lefikor, therefore, im nofal hakoisel, let's say now in a case where there was a chazis in a bika, and the wall fell down, so now hamokam v'yavodim shaloi, you have a simin that you built it yourself, therefore the place and the stones of the wall belongs to you. What's going to be though, im osu midashnayim, let's say both agree to build this wall, then the halacha is b'nei nesa kaisel b'yemtza. Even though you're in a bika now, we build it together. And you put the wall on both properties, b'yemtza. And b'yoysen chozes mikan mikan, you're supposed to make a simen on both sides as if the show belongs to both of you. And the Gemara asked the question, what do you need a simen altogether for? In the case where you both build it together, so the chazis should build it without a simen at all. So neither of them could say it belonged to him. So Gemara says, true, that's what you should do. But here we're talking about if one person went fast and made a chazis. So since he already made the sign, the Yetzer is the other one should make the sign on his side. Here the Mishnah says, Lefikuch, therefore, if you both have a chazis here, im nofal hakoisel, now if this wall falls down, hamokim v'yavonim shoshanayim, you should know the place and the stones belong to both of them. Since we have a simon, they both build it up together. Now Mishnah Gimel, hamakif es chaveroi mishalosh ruchosef. You bought three fields around somebody's field. In other words, Reuven owns the middle field. And now Shimon went and bought the three fields around him. The God the Resurrection, and now Shimon, the outside one, he himself built up a wall between his field and Reuven's field, the middle one's field, on three sides. The God the Resurrection of Yeshashniya Yeshashlishis. He built up the first side, the second side, and the third side. And the middle one did not pay, and like didn't ask you to build the wall. So the halacha is ein machiyav anoisai. Like we're talking about now, Mastam in a bika. So you can't force the middle one to pay for the wall. Like he does not want it. He did not tell you to build it. You build it on your own. Therefore, there's like a makam she'ein noigim ligdor. So therefore, he does not have to pay. But the chiddush is Rabbi Yosi Yoimer. Rabbi Yosi says im o mad v'godares ravias. Let's say the makif or the nikif, either the outside one or the inside one, now gets up and builds up the fourth wall. Then megalglen all of us akel. Then we force the middle one, Reuven, to pay Shimon for the expense of all the four walls. Because now that a fourth wall is built, now for sure Reuven has enjoyment. He's enclosed now by walls. It's a good protection for him. So since he's having no enjoyment here, he has to pay Shimon, the outside one, half of his expenses. So Gemara talks about clearly what's the machlokes of the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Because even according to the Tanakama, it's mashma only because he only built up three walls. That's why he can't collect. But mashma, if he builds up a fourth wall, then he could collect. So in the Gemara, there are all different type of pshatim, whether the first one says only the nikif, and Rabbi Yossi says no, even the makab of the nikif, or else the shayla, how much money does the middleman have to pay? Does he have to pay for the value that the outside one spent, or does he have to spend just for how much a cheap wall would cost? Mishnah Dalet. Koisel chotzer shenofel. He had a koisel between a chotzer, a two shut from on the chotzer, and they build up a wall, and like the first mishnah, and then the wall fell down. So locher is mechayovin oisel livnoisel ad arbamas. We forced now these two shutfim, or the ex-shutfim, we forced them both to rebuild this wall. And even though the wall maybe at the beginning was very, very tall, we only forced them now to build four amis. If you build it up four amis, that stops the hezekria. You cannot look in one into the other. Now the Mishnah says, "Becheska she'nosan, achiyovi ra'ish le'nosan." Like let's say after the wall was built up, the second time, now one of the shutif, one of them says to the other one, listen, you didn't pay me yet. Pay me for your hef. And he says, no, I already paid you. So he's believed, because since there's a takana here, it has to be built between both of them, most probably the first one would not build it unless the second one paid him right away. Sif was Becheska Shenosan. What's going to be though, may Arba Amos Olamalo, let's say they rebuild this wall more than four Amos, they built it 10 Amos tall. So then, ein mechayav noisai. Whoever built it that high cannot force the other one to help along. That's more than the shear of hezekria. You cannot force him to help along to pay you the extra six amas you're building it. And what's going to be though? Somach lekoisel acher. Let's say later the second one that did not help the first one build the 10 amas tall. The second one though went ahead in inside his chotzer. He built up a wall also 10 amas tall. In other words, he wants to use these two walls, like to put something on top of them. So he's showing us off. So he's showing us right now that really he's happy the fact the first wall is 10 amas tall. So then, even though the second one did not put the roof across his second wall onto the first wall yet, still, we forced the second one out to chip in to pay for half of the first wall. Because we see now the second one is happy, the fact the first one built the first wall 10 amas tall. But here the loch is, Becheska Shloi Nosan. Let's say the first one says, I built it up already, and you did not pay me yet. And the second one says, yes, I paid you. We don't believe the second one. Because we know when the first one built it, you did not chip in at that time. Therefore, later on, you're not able to say you paid, Achiyovi Raish Nosan. Unless you bring a proof that you paid. Because otherwise it's Becheska, she didn't pay yet. And the Gemara says, the svar is because not everybody knows this chiv, that the second one has to help the first one pay. But since the chiv is not Yedua, therefore it's like Becheska, he did not pay until he brings Edim that he paid. Mishnehe. Koifenois soy livnois beishar vedelis lechotzer. The people in the chotzer could force everybody to chip in to build around this chotzer, to build a beishar. That's a little hut outside where the shema could stay there. And also delos to have a door put onto the chotzer. So you have a right to chip in, to force them to chip in. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel loymer, loy kolach atzeres ruyas le beishar. Not every chotzer needs a beishar. And the Gemara says, only a chotzer that's near the Rishus Rabim, and then they need this Beishar. But if it's not near the Rishus Rabim, then you do not need it. So you cannot force the people to chip in to pay for the Beishar. Then the Mishnah says, Koifenoisoi livnois lir, choime odlosayim obriach. You have right to force the people in the city to chip in to build a wall around the city, odlosayim to have gates, obriach and bolts to watch the city. Not every city needs a wall. And therefore, not every city can you force them to chip in. And the Gemara says, he holds only a city near the frontier. There you're afraid of the enemies. Then you have a right to chip in, to force them to chip in to build the wall. But if your city is amongst other cities, then you cannot force them. Now the Mishnah says, how long do you have to, are you living in the city already that they have a right to force you to chip in to pay for the wall? You have to be living there 12 months. But what's going to be Konovah Beis Dira? Let's say you bought a house there in the city. Then Hareyu Kian She'ir Miyod. Then right away you're considered part of that city that you have to chip in to pay for the wall. Mishnah Vov. Ein Cholken Es HaChotzer. If two Shutfim own a Chotzer, one cannot force the other one to divide up. Achihei Arba Amas Lezer. The Arba Amas Lezer. Each one has to at least have a share of 4x4 Amas. That's a Chosh of a share. Then one could force the other one to divide up. If two shutfim own a field, they can't force one to divide up. Each one has to have the size of a field to have tisha kabin. In other words, the field has to be big enough that you could plant there tisha kabin, which really is called a so mechso. Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't have to be that big to be able to plant there 9 carbon of seeds. It's enough to plant 9 half a carbon of seeds for each one. Volaya sagina, again, we can't force two shutfim. If one wants to divide up, you can't force the other one to divide up a gina, a garden. Each one has also enough ground there to plant a chatzi kav worth of zeroyim, worth of seeds. We have Makiva says, base roiva. You have to have a base roiva, a gina that could plant a roiva hakav. That's enough to make a chalukah. Vloyes a traklin, we do not force shutfim to divide up a traklin, that's like a big room. Vloyes hamurin, that's like a small tower in the garden. Vloyes hashoivich, not the chicken coop. Vloyes a talis, not a talis. Vloyes amerchas, not a bathhouse. Vloyes beis habad, not an olive press. Unless each one has enough of a, if they would share, there'd be enough for each one of them to have in his portion, enough to live on, enough to be satisfied with it. Enough that you should be satisfied to work with it. This is the general rule. Kol sheyecholek, anytime they do divide up, Ushma Yolov, and your name is on it, Lasavakarka, Furamis, or Tishakabin, Chokin, then one shutif has a right to force the other one to divide up. Viyim Lav, if there's not enough, then Ein Chokin, then one cannot force the other one to divide up. Amosai, when is this said? Bizman Shein Shneim Roitzim. Only if they both do not want to divide, then one cannot force the other. Abo Bizman Shein Shneim Roitzim, but if both of them want to divide up, Afilu V'Pachas Mikan, even if it's less than this year, even after the Chalukah, they'll come out with less, still Yachloiku. If they both agree, then they have a right to make a Chalukah. But the Kisvei HaKodesh, it's a question of dividing up Svarim, let's say Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Afapish Shneim Roitzim, even though both Shutfim agree to divide up, still the Lachar is, Lo Yachloiku, we do not divide up. Because it's not Derech Kovet, it's like a Bezoyin to have to rip to cut the Sefer Torah, or to cut the Nevi'im or Ksuvim.
Yeah, Perek Sheni. Mishnah says, Lo Yachber Odom Abor Somach Labar Shachaveroi. That you are not allowed to dig a ditch for water purposes next to a ditch of your friend. In other words, if you're by the boundary, your neighbor, and he has a bore there, you are not allowed to dig a bore on your side of the fence, on your property, unless you move in 3 tefachim, like we'll soon see. And also, below siach, below mora, you can't make a siach. There's also like a ditch in the ground that's long, below mora, not a cave. Not like a stream of water. You can't make a little puddle of water there that used to soak the clothing in it. Unless you move into your property 3 tefachim. There has to be 3 tefachim space between your bor and your boundary. Like the more it comes out, really it means that you have to have 6 tefachim. In other words, your bor has to be 3 tefachim in your property, and your neighbor's bor has to be 3 tefachim in his property. Therefore, from your hole to his hole is 6 tefachim. And the Mishnah also then says, v'sad v'sid, you also have to put plaster on the sides of your bor, on the sides of your ditch. Now, that's one halacha, that these things, the wetness of these things will ruin your neighbor's bor, so therefore, al-sirchas nischa shchenim, you have to go in your property 3 tefachim. Now, marchikim es hagefes, yes, if you want to pile up, if you want to store a pile of gefes, that's the psoilus leftovers after you press out the olives and it gives off heat, and therefore could ruin your neighbor's wall, or else v'yes hazevel, if you have manure, or else v'yes hamelech, you want to store salt, v'yes hasid, you want to store some plaster, v'yes hasloyim, you have these small type of stones that can give off fire, mikoisla shachaveroi, shleisha tvachim, also you have to move back from your friend's koisol, three tvachim, because these things also could do damage to his wall of heat. And here with v'sad besid, or it says it also means, or you could put plaster on the sides, that would also be good. Now another type of achoker is marchikim es hazroyim. If you want to plant zroyim like vegetables, you have to move back from your friend's kaisel also three tefachim. V'yes hamachresha, if you want to plow, you can plow the last three tefachim of your property. V'yes meiraglayim, if you want to store meiraglayim min hakaisel shlosh tefachim, you have to move back from your friend's kaisel three tefachim. Again, at the end of your friend's property, he has a wall there, and now you want to store these things at the end of your property, you have to move in three tefachim, because otherwise these things will be mazik his wall. And you have to move back a rechayim, the millstone, if you want to put it at the end of your property, three tefachim from the shechev, from the base of your millstone, which is four tefachim away from the top part of the rechayim. In other words, the base like sticks out a tefach, so it's three tefachim away from the base and four tefachim from the actual rechayim. V'yes ha-taner, also if you want to put up a taner, an oven at the end of your property, shloisha, you have to put it back three tefachim in your property, min ha-kilya, from the base of the taner, sheina bo min ha-sofa, which is four tefachim from the top part of the taner. Again, the base of the taner is also one tefach. Mishnah Beis, lo yamid odom taner b'teich ha-bayis. You're not allowed to keep an oven in your house. Elim came yesh agabov, unless you have on top of it enough space of goiva arbamis. In other words, in your property, you live downstairs, and there's an upstairs neighbor, so you cannot have an oven in your house in the downstairs unless there's four amis above the oven until the roof. Hoyamamido baliyot. Let's say you want to put the oven on upstairs. So now the question is, how strong is the floor? Tzorach shehei tachtov maziv v'shloisha tefachim. You have to make sure underneath your oven you have a strong floor of three tefachim, that it would not affect the bottom neighbor. Uvakiru, let's say you're only putting up a stove, not an oven, then tefach, then it's enough to have a floor of tefach. V'yim hizik, let's even though you have these measurements, but still the heat does damage, mishalim mash ezik, still you have to pay for the damage that you did. Rabbi Shimon says, Loi omru kolash yurum elu elo shemizik potim elishalim. No, the only reason why you have the halacha of these harchokis, if you have to go back or have these four amis, or have these three tefachim, is that in case later it does do damage, you'd be potter. Mishnah Gimel, lo yiftach odom chanus shonach toimim v'shel tzaboyim tachas oitzor shachaveroi. You're not allowed to open up a nachtum, a bakery, or a dyer that you have to cook up the dye underneath a warehouse of your friend. In other words, if an upstairs apartment, your friend has a warehouse there, he's storing his tfuah, or his wine, or olives, so then the heat of the nachtum would ruin it. So if we're not allowed to have a bakery in the bottom. And v'loy refes bok, you cannot have a corral where you store your animals there, because the smell goes up, and it would be mazik his merchandise. B'yemis, but really, b'yayin hetiru. If he's only storing wine upstairs, then it would be mutter to have a nachtum, a bakery, or a dyer downstairs, because the heat does not ruin the wine. Avoler refes bokor. But you would still not be able to have the corral downstairs, because the smell of the corral, that would do damage even to the wine. Now the Mishnah says, chanus shebechotzer. If somebody wants to open up a store in the courtyard, is yochol limchoyz biyodoy, the neighbors have a right to stop him by saying v'loimoloy and tell him, listen, eini yochol lishan mikol hanichnosim u'mikol hayoytzim, we can't sleep because of the noise that the people are coming into your store and leaving your store. It's too noisy. So the people in the chutz have a right to stop you from opening up a store. But oisim kelim, but you're allowed to make your kelim, make your utensils, that you're allowed to do in your store in the chutz. And then you take these kelim out to the marketplace and sell them there. But just to make them, that you're allowed to, that's normal use of a house, that people can't stop you.
But people cannot stop you and tell you that any yochol ishan, we can't sleep. We can't sleep because of the noise of the patish, of the banging, of the blacksmith, you bang with your hammer. Not from the noise that you're grinding. That they have no right to stop you. Since you do your work by daytime and you don't have people coming in, going out, people cannot stop you from doing your work in your house. And then the Mishnah says, "V'loy mikol atinoikus." They have no right to stop you from the noise of kids. The Mishnah says it means if you want to open up a cheder, shabbes rabban, if you malamde tinoikus, if you're teaching kids Torah, that you're allowed to have a cheder in your house, even though it's in the courtyard. That's one of the takonis, that the Bnei Yechotzer cannot stop you from making a cheder in your house. Mishnah Dalet. If you have a wall, and your friend has a wall at the end of his property, and now you also want to build up a wall at the end of your property. So lachar is, lo yismaych loy koysalachar. You're not allowed to rebuild your wall. Elim kem hirchik memenu arbamis. Unless you go back 4 amis into your property. In other words, there has to be at least 4 amis in between the two walls. And the Gemara says, we're talking about here that first, your first wall was back 4 amis, and then it fell down. And now you want to rebuild it. So it's telling you when you rebuild the wall also, you're not allowed to bring it close again, but you have to again rebuild it to make sure there's 4 amis in between. The Gemara says, because it's good that people should step there. You need people walking on the side of the wall. That keeps the foundation strong. That keeps the dirt tight. So therefore, it has to be dalar amis in between that people could walk there. Now, v'achaloinus. Let's say you have a window and you want to build up your wall and your neighbor has a window. On his house there's a window and now on your side you want to build up a wall. So halacha is milamala, like you have to make sure your wall is higher than his window, 4 amis. Or milamatan, or else if it's below the window you have to make sure you're below his window, 4 amis. Or mikenegdon, or else opposite you have to be away, 4 amis. 4 amis. And the reason is, you have to have a little bit higher, a little bit lower, in order that you should not be able to stand or sit on the top of your wall and look into his window. That's not nice. And also, the other ones will complain that you're darkening his room by you putting up the wall, the light does not come into his window. So for that also, you have to move away, dal damas on the side. You're up to Mishnah Hay. Marchiken es ha-sulam min ha-shoivach arbamas. If your neighbor at the end of his property has like a chicken coop, he has a shoivich there, so now you or the neighboring, you're not allowed to put up a ladder right next to his chicken coop. Because we have kedei shaloi sikpoi tanamiya, in order that a small panther should not be able to jump straight off the ladder onto the shoivich and eat up the birds. So therefore you have to be marked, put away your ladder 4 amis away from your neighbor's chicken house, a bird house. If your neighbor has on the end of his roof, he has a gutter that the water is dripping down, coming down by, and now you want to build up a wall on your property, you have to move in dal damas. In order that the first one has a right to put his ladder there, he has to climb up to the roof to fix the gutter, so he has to have space there where to put the ladder. So you have to leave open 4 amas. Now, marchiken as hashoivich menuir chamishamama. Somebody that wants to have this birdhouse, if he has it outside, he has to make sure it's 50 amis outside the city. Why? Because otherwise the birds will come in and eat up the seeds of people. So therefore you have to make sure you put it away 50 amis. And v'loyasa odam shoivich v'teir shaloi. If a person wants to make a birdhouse in his own property, he can't do it. Elim kem yesh le chamishamama l'choruach. Lest he has a radius of 50 amis all around this birdhouse. For the same reason, otherwise the birds will go fly to the neighbor and eat up their zeroyim, their seeds. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bas Arbas Kurim. You have to have a place of Bas Arbor Kurim, but you can't make your shevach in the middle of your field unless you have enough place there, Kedei Zriyas Arba Kurim Tfuah, which is really a base Kur L'choruach. And the Kur is Shleishim So. In other words, you have to have enough space there that you can plant there 4 kurus of tfuah. Now, mole sheger hayoina, which is the length like how much a bird, a yoina, a pigeon, would fly at one shot. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. However, the loch is not like Rabbi Yehuda. You only have to go away 50 yamas. v'yim lokhoi, afilo beis roiva, harehu b'cheskosoi. If you buy from your friend, though, or shoivich, the way it is, with karka, said even though it's only around the birdhouse, enough land to grow a roiva of a calf, that's all, still it's okay. Why? Because harehu b'cheskosoi means that the shoivich, that since when you bought it off the first person, he had a right to build it, he had plenty of property, so even though now you buy it off him, still it's mutter. Because Mustama, he's mechle to you, since he's selling it to you, and he knows that you're going to keep this birdhouse there, therefore your neighbor is mechle anything the birds eat up. Therefore, if you buy it this way, is harehu b'cheskosei. All right, a turnover.
Mishnah Vov.
If somebody finds a nipple, that's a small bird that can't fly yet, he only hops. So if you find it 50 yamis from a shevich, from a birdhouse, so you should know, harehu shebel hashevich. For sure, this bird came from the birdhouse, and therefore you have to give it back to that owner. Chutz mechemishamama, let's say you find this bird more than 50 yamis away from the birdhouse, then harehu shemoitza, it belongs to the one that found it. In other words, it does not come from that birdhouse. You do not know where it comes from. Stam is hefker, or the ba'olam was miyayish. Therefore, you're allowed to keep it. What about nimtza bein shnei shevoches? Let's say you find this bird in between two birdhouses, and you don't know from which one it came from. So the klal is korav lozeh shaloi. The one that is closer to, you have to give it to him. Korav lozeh shaloi. If it's closer to the other one, you have to give it to the other one. What about nechtza machts? Let's say it's 50-50, then shnei mechleku. Therefore, both owners divide up the value of this bird. And the Gemara comes out, he's only talking about that both birdhouses have the same amount of birds. But if one would have roiv, if one would have more than the other, then we paskin that hochamacha roiv, even though korav is against it. Korav a roiv, we hold hochamacha roiv. See, in the Mishnah it says, you say achleiko, or you go bosa the one that's korav, means in a case where they're both equal, they both have the same amount of birds. Mishnah Zayin. Ma'achikin esu ilon minu'ir esrim v'chomisham. The first 25 amas outside a city, you're not allowed to plant a tree there. But it's supposed to leave it open, that the city should look nice. Uvichoru v'shikma, if you want to plant a boxer tree, or a sikma tree, which the leaves are have large leaves, a lot of leaves, then chamisha mama. Then you have to make sure it's first 50 yamis outside the city, in order to make the city look nice. Abishel says, call ilon srok. Any tree that does not give off fruits is chamisha mama. It doesn't look nice, and you have to first plant it 50 yamis outside the city. Now, emir kodmo. Let's say the city was there first, and now somebody came biissa and planted a tree. So kaitzitz, we have a right to tell him to chop down that tree. V'ena naisa damim, and the people from the city do not have to pay him. He did it biissa. But what's going to be v'imho ilon kodam? Let's say first there was a tree there, and then later people made a yishuv, people made a city. So it comes out when the person first planted the tree, it was beheter. So the lacha still is kaitzitz. Still, the people now in the city have a right to tell him, cut down your tree. But for noisein domim, the people have to pay him money because he did it. He had a right to plant this tree. So now, if you wanted to take it down, you have to pay him. What about sofik zekodam? Sofik zekodam. We do not know who was here first. Was the tree here first, or was the city here first? So locher is kaitzitz. Because no matter which way it happened, the din is we have a right to tell him to knock down his tree. But the question is, do the people have to pay him the money for the tree? So that's a suffix. Therefore, v'yena noisen domim, they did not have to pay him the money. Because as far as that goes, we say usually klalov, ha-moitze mechaveroi, olov haraya. Mishneh Ches. Marchikin goyrin kavua minu'ir chamishimama. They're not allowed to have a permanent goyrin within 50 yamis of the city. Now, permanent goyrin means that's a place where you winnow out your wheat, and therefore the shaft goes out flying, and it goes in around 50 yamas. So therefore, in order not to ruin the fields of the city, you have to move it out of the city 50 yamas. Now, lo yasa odom gerin kavua b'teich shaloi. A person cannot make a permanent gerin like a salon for wheat, that you winnow out the wheat within your own fields, unless eliim kem yesh pechemishamam l'choruach, unless you have a radius of 50 yamas around your gerin. So then even though the sheyach goes flying away, it'll only go flying into your field. But otherwise it could do damage to other people's field. And the Gemara explains that this is giving a reason to the Reisha. Like the reason why you can't make a gerin within 50 yamis is because it does harm to the netiyos, to young trees that are growing. When the sheyach goes near it, it'll make it dry up. The same thing with meniroi. Meniroi means that somebody just finished plowing his field, so his field is ready to sow it, to seed it. Now, if you're going to have the sheyach going over it, it'll make it dry up and it won't be fit. So therefore, since your sheyach, if you winnow out your wheat, will ruin the fields, that's why the reason is you have to be marchik 50 yams. Mishnah Tes. Marchikin es ha-nevelois. If you want to store nevelos, dead animals, or else v'yes ha-kvoros, a base across, you want to make a cemetery, or else we have Sabruski, a place where you make skin, where you work over skin to make it into leather. Whoever wants to have a place like this has to do it outside the city 50 yamas, because otherwise these things smell very bad, and the smell comes into the city and will ruin it, it'll hurt, it'll harm people. Therefore, you have to be marchik 50 yamas. Now, whoever wants, you're only permitted to make this tannery where you work on the skin on the east side of the city. Because otherwise the winds are strong and they'll bring the smell into the city. But the east wind, the Ruach Mizrachis, that's a nice calm wind, that does not bring the smell into the city. Rabbi Akiva says, L'chol Ruach Huayse. No, not only on the east side, the other two sides also you could do it. Chutz Mimarovo. Only on the west side, that you cannot do. And the Gemara explains because on the west side, that's the Mokum Ashchina, that's the place we daven to, so it's not nice to have this place that smells on the west side of the city. But you have to move it away 50 yamis. In other words, even though we said the other three sides, you're allowed to Mizruch, Tzofen and Dorim, but those sides also, you have to make sure it's first 50 yamis outside the city. Then you're allowed to make your burski, your tannery outside the city. Yeah, Mishneh Yud. Marchikin es ha-mishro min ha-yorek. You're supposed to put away the mishro. That's where you soak your flax in water. Min ha-yorek. If your neighbor has vegetables growing there, yorekis, so you're not allowed to have a mishro on your side. You have to be marchik from him that your mishro will not do damage to him. And the same thing, v'yes ha-krishin min ha-btzolim. If your neighbor has onions growing there, so you're not allowed to grow right next to Krishim your leek, because leek also does damage to the Bitsolim. V'yes ha-chardim min ha-dvarim. You're not allowed to have mustard seeds, mustard growing, if your neighbor right next door is like growing or has bees there that make honey. Because the Gemara says we're afraid that the bees will come and eat a little bit from your chardel, and they'll get a bitter taste in the mouth, and they'll go back and eat up all the honey. So it's called your bee marking them. You're being matik them. Therefore, you have to move in. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say exactly here how much you have to move in. So, some of Farshim learn it means 50 yamas like we had before, and some learn it means you have to move in as much as you will not do damage to your neighbor. However, Rabbi Yossi Martir b'chardol. Rabbi Yossi holds in the case of a chardol, you do not have to move back, because he holds that the devarim, the bees, are also being matik the chardol. They're coming and eating up the leaves of the chardol. Therefore, they're both being masik, one and another, so therefore neither of them has to move back. Whichever one wants to, he has a right to move back, but he can't force the other one to move back. Mishnah Yudalad. Marchikin esu ilan min habor esrim v'chomishama. You have to put a tree, move a tree back. If your neighbor has a bor, a ditch in his property, so you can plant a tree if it's within 25 amis from that bor. You have to move back Eskim v'chomishama, because the pshat is the roots go out and spread out 25 amis, and if your neighbor has a bor or ditch there, your roots will break up his ditch. So therefore you cannot be a matik, you have to move back 25 amis. Uv'charuv v'shikma, let's say you have a boxer tree, or else a shikma tree, then chamishamama, they give off more roots, you have to move back 50 amis. Now, bein milmala, bein min hatzad, whether it's, let's say, on a slope on a mountain, whether the tree is upwards and the bor is downwards, or the opposite, where the bor is upwards and the tree is downwards, both ways it's also. Because the roots travel up, the fruit travel across or travel downwards, and they rule that bor. Now what's going to be im ha-bor kodam? Let's say first you had your bor, and then the person goes in and plants his tree. So kaitzitz, you have to cut down the tree, and v'noisein damim. But the bal ha-bor still has to pay him money, because since the tree did not really do damage to your bor yet, so therefore the rabbanan said still the bal ha-bor has to pay the bal ilan for cutting down his tree. What's going to be the mo ilan kodam? Let's say the ilan was there first, and then the neighbor dug his ditch, then lo yokitz. You do not have to cut down your tree since you planted it peheta. What's going to be those sofak ze kodam, the sofak ze kodam? We have a doubt what was there first. Was the tree there first, or was the bor there first? And locher is lo yokitz. We cannot force him to cut down the tree, because if he was there first, he does not have to cut it down. Rabbi Yossi says, Hafalpi shabor kodam lilon. Even though the ditch was there first, your neighbor had a ditch already before, and now you went to plant a tree in your property, even though it's within 25 amis, still Rabbi Yossi owes lo yokitz. We do not tell you to cut it down. Why? Because shezeh choyfe b'ter shaloi, v'zeh noteh b'ter shaloi. He is digging in his own property, and he is planting in his own property. You have a right to do what you want. Rabbi Yossi holds you not mechuyuk to be marchik here, because he holds you're not really a mazik. Since no damage happens right now, it's only later on the roots grow out, that's like a groma that happens by itself, therefore you're potter like you do not have to be marchik. Mishnah Yud Beis. Lo yita odon ilon somech l'stei chaveroi. Not let him plant a tree right next to your neighbor's fields. Whether your neighbor has trees growing there, or he has tefuah wheat growing there, so you're not allowed to plant your tree next to your neighbor's. Elim kem hirchik memenu arba amos, unless there's at least 4 amos in between. 4 amos you need to avoid this ilon. If it's a tree, you have to be able to like plow, work around the tree, or else for the other things the machrisham, so you have to leave over a dalad amos space. Echod gefanim, with this question, your neighbor has vines, grapes, v'yechod kol ilon, or any type of a tree. What's going to be though, Hayagoda Bintan? Let's say there was a fence in between them. Then, Zes Samech Lagoda Mikan, Vezes Samech Lagoda Mikan, each one's allowed to come next to the tree, because anyway you can't use the ground in between. There's a fence there. So, if you're allowed to plant your tree right next to the fence. What's going to be, Hayashroshim Yoitzim Mater Shechaveri? Let's say you have a tree in your property, and the roots grow into your neighbor's property. So, mamik shloisha tfochim, your neighbor has a right to dig down 3 tfochim and cut out the roots down 3 tfochim. Kedei shelo yakav esa machrisha, in order that your roots should not stop him from being able to plant, to plow his fields. Like the plow goes down 3 tfochim, and if the roots still get stuck in the roots, so he has the right to cut out the roots 3 tfochim. What's going to be hoyechoifa bor siachomora? Let's say your neighbor now wants to dig a ditch, and there are roots there, so the roots are stopping him. Koitzeitz v'yurit, he's allowed to cut all the way down, cut out as much deep down as he needs to make his ditch. And v'yetzim shaloi, the yetzim belongs to him. Kut to who? So more comes out that the first 16 amas, the radius of 16 amas around the tree, that's still necessary for the tree. It's called part of the tree, it belongs to the Baal Ilan. But the roots that grow further than 16 amas, they're not necessary for the growth of the tree, therefore it belongs to the Baal HaKarka. Mishnah Yud Gimel. Ilon shehu noitel l'sdei chaveroi. If you have a tree that's like bending over towards your friend's field, so locher is koitzeitz meloi hamardeya agavi hamachrisha. Your neighbor now, like he has branches from his neighboring tree bending over into his property, so he's allowed to cut down those branches high enough that a machrisha, that's the plow with hamardeya, with the one that's standing on top of it with a stick, like to hit it. If that stick appears by, that's how high up he's allowed to cut down the leaves. Of the choruv of a shikma, if it's a boxer tree or a shikma tree, kenegan hamishkolas, then he's allowed to cut down all the leaves straight up from the boundary. Kenegan hamishkolas, that's like when you want to make a straight line down, you have like a string going straight down here also. At the end of your boundary, like straight up, you're allowed to cut off all the branches, all the leaves. Now, beis hashlochin, let's say you have a beis hashachin that's a sodom, that you have to irrigate it. It doesn't have enough from the rainwater. So then, kol ilon keneged hamashkolas. no matter what type of a tree your neighbor has, you have a right to cut down all the leaves, because the leaves cause shade, and shade is bad for it. Abishol says, Kol ilan srok, any tree that does not produce fruits, keneged hamashkolos, also you're allowed to cut it down, all the leaves, straight down up from your boundary. In other words, Rabbi Yis, Abishol is arguing on the Tanakama. The Tanakama says, all trees, you could only cut down, moli hamadeya, and he says, no, if it's an ilan srok, if it's a tree that doesn't give off fruit, so it's not worth it anyway to have it so much, therefore he yells, you're allowed to cut down the branches straight up. Mishnah Yudalit. Ilon shehu noitel rishus harabim, a tree that's bending over towards the rishus harabim. So koitzeitz kedeshi he gomol oivev roichboi. You're allowed to cut down the branches in the rishus harabim in order that it should be high enough that a camel should be able to go by with the person riding on top of it. Reb Yudah says, gomol toin pishton. It has to be high enough that a camel that's loaded up with flax could pass by it. Or that's loaded up with chavilim bundles of vines. Rabbi Shimon Aimer, Kol Ilon Kineged Hamashkolos, Mevnei Atum. He also know any tree, any branches that are going over into the Shusrabim. The people in the Shusrabim have a right to cut down those branches straight up by the end of the Shusrabim. Mevnei Atum, that we do not want branches to be going over, hanging over into the Shusrabim. Because sometimes there could be a mace or a kezias of a mace there, and then there's a branch over it, or make a tumas oil. So be marvet tum of Rishus Rabim, therefore we have a right to cut down all the branches that go over into the Rishus Rabim. Dr. Perek Shlishi. Mishnah says, Cheskas Habatim. If somebody wants to have a proof that he bought this house, so this type of a proof is the fact you're living there the last 3 years and nobody bothered you, nobody said it doesn't belong to you, that's called a chazaka. So cheskas habatim, if you want to have a chazaka, like you're using this house, if you have burris, or whether it's a ditch, via sichin, a longer ditch, a square-like, via morris, a cave, via shevochos, you want to prove that you own a birdhouse, via machzois, or else you want to prove that you own a bathhouse, or beis habadim, or else it's a olive press, or beis hashlochin, it's a field that you have to irrigate it a lot, and therefore it gives off fruits. Kesaida, it is always giving off fruits there. For Yehavodim, it's a question about an Eved Kenani, who owns it. V'chol shuwaisa peres todir, any type of a thing, that the argument is if you have it or not, and you want to prove the fact you are on a chazok, you were there the last 3 years, but it's something that is always used there, like it could always be used, there's always peres coming out of it, in such a case, ches koson shalashonim. The chazok has to be that you're there, you're living there, you're using it for 3 years. Miyom liyom, a complete 3 years. If you have proof that you were on this field for a complete 3 years, then you have a right to say you bought the field, even though you lost your shtar. Still, we say a person normally only holds on to a shtar for 3 years, and if nobody bothered him within those 3 years, it's normal to lose the shtar. Therefore, still we say the karka belongs to you with the proof of chazok alone. Because we say if the owner really, the original owner, still has it now, and you're stealing it, so he should have made a machor, he should have made a protest in between. Since the original owner did not make any protest, and you're there 3 years without hearing any protest, that's a proof to say that you really bought it, and from now on you do not have to hold on to your shtar. What's going to be though, Sedei Habal, that means a field that just relies upon the rain. We do not irrigate it. So it does not give off produce the whole year. It only gives off produce, a crop, once a year. So then, cheskos and shalashonim, true, you have to use it, eat the fruits of the fields for 3 years. But v'yeinim yom liyom, here you do not have to have it to complete 3 years from day to day. Well, how much do you have to have? Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Shmuel says, shleish chadoshim. Like really, 3 months crop of the year, that's enough. Therefore, v'rishayna, you need the last 3 months like of the first year, ushleshabachreina, the first 3 months of the last year, and then a complete 12 months in between, like you have to wait the complete year. Together you have like 18 months. That's how fast you can make a chazaka in a stay habal, because it only gives off crop once a year, and the crop is enough for 3 months. Therefore either 3 months out of the year, that's called you have a chazaka for that year. And if you have three of them, that's called Yavacheskas Gimel Shonim. Rabbi Akiva Weimer, Chodesh Purishoina, it's enough just to have the crop of 1 month. So the first year, the last month, the Chodesh Bachroina, the third year, the first month, Hushneim Mosa Chodesh Biemsa, 12 months in between. Harei Arba Mosa Chodesh, together it's like 14 months. That's enough to make a chazoko on such a sod stay habal. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, it has to grow something like tfuah, like wheat, that takes a good 3 months. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's enough even Yerokas that you can grow in 1 month. Now Omer Rabbi Shmuel, Bishmuel said, Bamed Devor Mamurim, when was it said the Shiurim Piste Loven, only a state tfuah, a sod that's growing off wheat. So then you have to have 3 separate years. Avo Biste Ilon, if you're taking over a field that has trees on it, then Karnas has Tfuasai. 1 period of time you cut down all the grapes. Or Masek Azesav, another period of time, could be a few weeks later, you cut down all the olives. Karnas has Ketzai, then a few weeks later you cut down all the dates. Is Harei Elu Shalashanim. Here you could have a Chazok, a Cheskas Gilmashanim, even less than 3 years. The same year. Since each, like, cutting down is like a special chazoka, it's a special proof. You're showing Bailith that you own it. So if you do this 3 times, that's called a good chazoka. The Gemara comes out that Rabbi Shmuel learns out Cheskas Gimushonim from Shur HaMuad, and he holds like Rabbi Meir that by Shur HaMuad, not only does it have to be 3 separate days, but he holds the Kal V'Chomer, even the same day, the Shor Stoisis 3 times the same day, that's called Kirov Nigi Chaisov, you also become a Muad. So you're also, even though it happens one after another, as long as it's called like 3 different eatings, so that gives you a Chazaka, Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Your Mishnah Beis. Sholosh Arotis LeChazaka. There are 3 different lands in Eretz Yisrael that are Machulik separated to the Halacha of Chazaka. We'll soon see what that means. The 3 lands are Yehuda, V'Ever HaYarden, V'Hagolu. These are 3 different parts of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the halacha is like this, that Hoye B'Yehuda, if the owner was living in Yehuda, V'Hechzik B'Golu, and he owned property in Golu, and somebody was going down to his property there in Golu and making a chazaka, so it's not called a chazaka. Or else the opposite way, B'Golu, the owner lived in Golu, V'Hechzik B'Yehuda, he owned property in Yehuda, and in Yehuda there somebody was making a chazaka over there. So the locker is Eina Chazaka. The person that's living there now for 3 years does not have a proof that he bought the field, just the fact that he's there. Achieimai Bamedina. Only until both the owner and the machzor, the one that's living in the ground now, is in the same Medina. In other words, like we said, the svar of Chazaka always is that the owner finds out that somebody is in his field, and if the owner did not sell it to him, the owner should have made a machor, he should have made a protest. Since he did not make a protest, that's the proof that he really sold the karka. But over here, since they're living in a different medina, so like the Gemara explains, there's always like a shas chirim, there's like a war. They're like, people don't travel from Yehuda to Eber Yarden into the Golu. Therefore, news does not travel. Therefore, either the owner does not find out about it, or else even if he does, he can't make a machor, because the machor, the protest, won't get back to the machzik. So therefore, here there's no proof of chazoka. Therefore, if you really bought the field, you're supposed to hold on to your shtar. You do not have the proof of chazaka until both the owner and the machzik is in the same medina. Omer Reb Yudah, Yudah says, Lo Yomru Sholosh Shonim, it was only said a loch of 3 years, Ele Kedei Sheyehei B'Asfamya, that even in the case that the owner is in Mamish one side of Eretz Yisrael and Asfamya, V'Yachzik Shona, V'Yelechu V'Yodiyu Shona, that it Mamish takes the years traveling to get from where the owner is until where the field really is. Still, it's called a good chazaka, that the person is machzik 1 year, then they go and they tell the owner 1 year about it. The yovel l'shana cheres, then the 3rd year, the owner comes back and makes his machor. So in other words, really, Rabbi Yehuda, he's arguing on the Tanakhama, that Rabbi Yehuda holds the pshat for the chazaka is that no matter how far away the two are, the owner and the one that's being machzik in the field, like he says as much, even if the owner is in Esfamia, that's in Svard, and the one that's being machzik is the years traveling away, still there's a chazaka. Because like I said, the 1st year the person is machzik, lives in the ground, and people find out about it, and then the 2nd year news travels back to the original owner, telling him somebody's in your field right now, and then at the end of the, and then by the beginning of the 3rd year, the owner sends back his machor.
So really, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chazaka is lav dafka always 3 years. Chazaka is as long as it takes for the Yonah to find out. And the Yonah should make a machor, should have made a protest, and his protest could come to him. That's called the Chazaka. So sometimes it could be even in 1 year, it could be a proof of the Chazaka. So the reason why they say 3 years is because that's even in a place where they live a year apart. However, the loch is not like the Yehuda. Loch we always like the Tanakhama. Mishnah Gimel. Kol Chazaka Sheini Motaina. Any chazaka that the person that's there does not say the reason what he's doing there is any chazaka that's not called a good chazaka. Ketzad, what does this mean to say? Omaloi, let's say Reuven says to Shimon, Ma toise b'terech sheli? Like Reuven tells him, listen, this is my field, I owned it 20 years already. What are you, Shimon, doing in my field the last 3 years? Omaloi, so Shimon answers back and says, Shloi omali odom dovam yelam, because nobody said anything to me. Like I stammer moved in here, and nobody told me to go out, that's why I'm staying here. So in such a case, ain't a chazaka. Even though Shimon has edus that he's been there the last 3 years, that means nothing. Because he does not say that he bought it off Reuven, or that Reuven gave it to him for a present. He says clearly that nobody told him to leave. So like he's admitting that he did not buy it, therefore the field still belongs to Reuven. What about if Shimon says, Shemachartali, listen, you know what I'm doing here, you sold me this field. Shenosatali b'matono, you gave me the field for matono. Rels avicho mochroli, your father sold it to me. Rels avicho nesonali b'matono, your father gave it to me for a present. Harezu chazaka, that's called a good chazaka, that's called a good taina, that you're there 3 years, and you have a taina, you say exactly what you're doing there, that you bought it or that you received it for a present. Now we have bo mishum Yerusha and a sarach taina. Somebody comes because of Yerusha, he does not need a taina. In other words, let's say this Shimon is being machzik in the field, he's there for the last 3 years, and when we ask him, what are you doing here? So he says, listen, this field I got the Yerusha to ask my father. Because my father owned this field before, and my father died, I got it to ask Yerusha. That's a good taina. And the Gemara says, woman yom, at least, we have to have proof at least that the father was in the field at least for one day. Now, umnin v'hashutfin v'harisin v'apetrusin ein lem chazaka. Umnin, let's say you have workers that are working in your house for the last 3 years, or else you give a tailor a suit and is working on it the last 3 years, or else v'hashutfin, people own it with their partners, v'harisin, if you have a sharecropper, a person that works on the field for you, v'apetrusin, well, some are gardeners that's taking care of Nichsa Yisaimim, is Ein Lem Chazaka, even though they're working with the field for 3 years, there's no proof that they bought it, because we know what they're doing there. They went down, but there is either a new man, they're a worker, or else they're Shutfim, or else they're Patrupin. Now, the same halacha is Ein Le'ish Chazaka B'Nichsa Yishtoi. A man has no proof of Chazaka in his wife's property, even though he's using it the last 3 years, there's no proof the wife sold it to him. Could be the wife just is not makbid if her husband eats it, eats the peris. Even in cases when the husband has no right to eat the peris, like the Gemara says. Still, she's not makbid, and therefore there's no chazaka. And the same thing the opposite way. For loyla isha, chazaka b'nichsei baylo. If a wife is eating the fruits of the field for the last 3 years of her husband's property, that's no proof she has no right to say she bought the field, unless she still has her shtar. For loyli av b'nichsei aben, a father has no chazaka if he's using his son's property. For the same reason, the son is not makbid, that's why he wasn't moichem. For loyli aben b'nichsei av, and same thing, the son doesn't have a chazaka in his father's property. The same reason. B'med v'amamurim, when is all this said? B'machzik. This is all talking about if you have a chazaka here. Which means, like, you want to have a proof that you bought it from the fact that you're there the last 3 years. Then we have this halacha, you have to be there for 3 years. In other words, you're not making the kinyan right now. There's only the proof that you once bought it. Therefore, you have to wait 3 years. Avo b'noisen matona. Let's say somebody right now is giving you a field for a present, and he tells you, lechazeku kini, go make a chazaka in it. Rels v'yachin shecholko. Two brothers that the father died, so they have a Yerusha. They want to divide up the property. Nichsi Hager means a Jew, a ger that died, so usually he has no Yorshim, so the fields are Hefka. So somebody wants to come now and be Kainerit, has to make a Chazaka. So in such a case, Noal, you close the door. The Godar, you make a fence. Uporat, Kolshu, or else you break open and you make an opening in the fence to go through it. Kol shur goes back either way, that you made a small knoll, a small delis, a small door, or a small fence, or a small opening. Harezu chazaka. That's called a chazaka. For kinyan, this is called a chazaka. Like we know, karkas nikna v'kesev v'shtar v'chazaka. This is called a maisa chazaka. Any small tikkun, any small fixing in the field itself is called a chazaka. And here, this would be right away. Here, you would not have to wait 3 years. All right, we'll stop here. We'll continue on in the next tape.